This is SB Nation Radio.
Who's there? You better run, you smart aleck!
Who is it, Brad?
Just a bunch of punks who better watch their back!
The next generation of sports radio.
I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Live from the Quicken Loans Studios in Houston, Texas.
Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today.
This is Prime Cut with the quarterback, Sean Salisbury. Here's Steve Buhnen.
Final hour of the show. Glad you are with us, Steve Buhnen, Sean Salisbury, as we get through this Wednesday hump day, a big one for our country, no doubt. And in sports, not quite as much juice as we have politically, but we've talked about that earlier in the show. If you're curious for our take on anything, feel free to jump into our podcast world on Twitter. We're always retweeting on Twitter and SBNationRadio.com, presumably as well. And look, it's not the biggest week in baseball. The awards are coming out, I believe, next week, although we know the finalists now. But there's major news, Sean, when it comes to baseball and music and the Billboard charts. When is the last time you thought about that? Is your kind of jam, Sean?
No.
Yeah, me neither. But it's catchy if you're a Cubs fan. And according to Billboard magazine, that's the Go Cubs Go, by the way, in case it was written in 1984, which definitely sounds true. And according to Billboard, it's got enough 2.5 million streaming plays during the week, which put it at number 21 on the pop chart. It's officially on the Billboard charts. Like, it's not on the radio ever. Maybe in Chicago, but it's on the Billboard charts, and I think that's just absolutely hysterical. Hit me that again, Six. Go, Cubs, go. Sounds like go Cows, go. Go, there's the Cubs. It's not the greatest song ever written. It's not We Are the World. But all right, let's talk with our baseball insider from SB Nation at Daily Dish, Chris Cotillo. Welcome back to the show, Chris. It's Steve Buhnen and Sean Salisbury. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What a great song that is. You're young. Do you like that song?
No, not
yeah,
a little
me,
bit.
Me neither. We're old, and we don't like it either. GM meetings in Scottsdale. There's always the talk of things happening, and some minor moves have happened, but some big names may be on the move, and this may be maybe the genesis of their movement. So let me run by a few names with you. The Dodgers have to make a decision on Yasiel Puig, and I just saw that they may be interested in Aroldis Chapman. What can you tell me about the Dodgers?
Yeah, the Dodgers are definitely going to be one of those teams that's going to be casting a wide net. I think at this point in the year, it's tough to, as you said, it's tough to really gauge exactly what teams are going to be really interested in, because during the GM meetings that are going on right now, every team kind of meets with every other team. Every team meets with agents for free agents. Basically, everybody is just feeling each other out and seeing what could possibly go down. So this kind of sets the stage, but you'll see the Dodgers linked to a lot of names. Aroldis Chapman is one. I think they're going to be a big player for a free agent closer. Chapman is obviously one of the two big names out there with their own guy, Kenley Jansen. The Yankees are going to be interested in those two guys as well. Definitely, Puig trade is definitely an option, though there are a ton of free agent bats that are available. I think Puig could be dangled maybe in a trade for some pitching. Dodgers have a lot of arms, but a lot of real question marks on those arms. So I think if something was going to happen with Puig, it would be in a trade for a starter.
What will the Cubs roster, how much different will the Cubs roster look like next year?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be basically the same core. Obviously, we saw them lose Jason Hamill the other day in a move that was a really respectable one, because they let Hamill basically make his own decision. If he wanted to walk and hit free agency, he could have. And instead of signing him and kind of stashing him as a sixth starter option, they let him go out on a weak free agent market. Well, he'll probably cash in on maybe a 3-year deal. And but now you have Dexter Fowler is obviously the big question mark hitting free agency. Doesn't look like he's going to accept a qualifying offer of $17 million. I think a lot of teams are really going to be interested in Fowler after the year he had. But other than that, and obviously Chapman being a free agent, doesn't look like he's going to come back. I think after those three guys, you're looking at the core basically being the same.
talking with Chris Cotillo, who covers Major League Baseball for the Daily Dish at SBNation.com. 37,000 of you already follow him on Twitter at Chris Cotillo. So on SB Nation's website, the Astros are highly profiled in terms of their potential interest in both Edwin Encarnacion or Miguel Cabrera, and the New York Daily News reporting that they are, quote, hot after the services of Carlos Beltran, who hit 295 with 29 jacks and 93 ribbies this past season. What can you tell us about Houston's spot in the free agent market?
You know, Houston's always been a team that's been kind of creative in trades. We've never seen them really be huge free agent spenders, but their GM, Jeff Luhnow, yesterday came out and said they're more likely to make an addition via free agency. So I think they have some money, they have some payroll and a big market down in Houston, and I think based on that, you're going to look at them being significant players for Encarnacion, maybe Jose Bautista. The Miguel Cabrera rumors are starting to surface, which is pretty interesting. Obviously, a huge name in Detroit. The Tigers are looking to be creative in trade talks, and they might look to make some moves. But it seems like, you know, that's more of a pipe dream for a lot of clubs. I think Encarnacion is obviously the big name out there on the free agent market, and I think he's going to be the focus so far for Houston.
Well, what about the Red Sox? They're going to need a bopper at DH. Is Encarnacion in play there?
He's definitely in play. In fact, at the All-Star game in San Diego over the summer, David Ortiz suggested, you know, unprompted, that Encarnacion would be the guy who replaced him in the middle of the Red Sox lineup. So I think the Red Sox are going to at least explore the possibility of that. There are rumors out of Scottsdale today where the meetings are that they're actually talking a little bit to Jose Bautista's camp. Again, everybody's talking to everyone, so don't look too far into these things. And then other rumors that they were badly looking to sign Carlos Beltran, who's a guy they've had interest in, especially at the trade deadline this year. They came close to acquiring him. So there are a few different names out there. I'm not sure if Encarnacion will be in their price range. I'm not sure how much they're looking to spend. But if not, you have a couple of those lesser guys, Bautista, and then obviously a tier down in Beltran on a shorter-term deal.
The Indians were so close to winning the World Series, and I know anyone who's not a Cleveland fan is happy that the Cubs, you know, ended their drought. But boy, I mean, the Indians have had their own long drought, and they were so close, and they were missing Michael Brantley most of the season. Chris Cotillo joining us at SBNation.com, MLB Daily Dish. What do you think Cleveland does this offseason?
We're not just missing Brantley, but obviously missing Carlos Carrasco. Not having Danny Salazar at full strength in the World Series. I think if those guys are in play, we're talking about maybe a different series, especially with how close it was. I think Cleveland's real focus this winter is kind of bringing back the veterans that were key to that club. They have had early interest in bringing back Rajay Davis, who hit that huge home run in Game 7, as well as Mike Napoli, who was a catalyst and clubhouse leader for them. So I think that's kind of where their focus is right now. Not really sure on what they're going to do. It's a pretty complete club with not a lot of spaces to fill other than those veterans that are leaving. So I don't expect a ton of turnover there. They have controllable starters. I think one thing that is interesting with Cleveland is on this market so little free agent starting pitching out there. Any team with controllable starting pitching, obviously they have Carrasco with some injury issues, Salazar, Kluber, Bauer. Any team with starters are going to be smart to just see what they can get on the trade market, see if they can be blown away with an offer. And if you have that surplus, it would be stupid not to at least explore.
Who's a team that wasn't a playoff contender and or a playoff team this year that we got to keep a close eye on this offseason, hot stove, as we head through spring training, to think they could be a player next year?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I think the Astros, you know, played below expectations last year after the year they had in 2015. I think they're going to be big free agent spenders potentially and big trade talkers as we move on. So obviously finished this year as out of the playoff race, but still managed to be over 500. They have a lot of depth to move from. They have some free agents, Luis Valbuena, Colby Rasmus, Jason Castro, Doug Schiffer, that are looking to move on. So there is some money that's going to be freed up there, and I think they are going to be a team to watch if they can add some veteran presence to go with a very solid young core and add some starting pitching, which they're going to need. I think that will really propel them into being a top contender again.
And then there's Cespedes too, huh, Steve?
Yeah, and so that's a name that we haven't discussed. Is there any other big name out there that you think might creep up on us and move somewhere of note?
Yes, I mean, Cespedes is obviously the big name on the whole free agent market. The Mets are going to look to re-sign them, but I don't know if they're going to be able to have the money to get it done. We're basically looking at the same exact scenario we had last year. We go into this offseason, the Mets are saying, well, we're not going to be able to reach his demands, and it's going to be kind of unlikely, and then a few things fell into place, and they ended up re-signing him. So you never know. But I think the Yankees could be involved there, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Nationals, a ton of teams. And there's a lot of free agent kind of bats that are that we've talked about, obviously, with the big two, Encarnacion, Cespedes, and the trade market, I think we're going to look at just being extremely active. I think you're looking at, for big names, all pitchers on the trade market. I think Chris Sale could move. I think Chris Archer could move. Sonny Gray, I don't know if coming off a down year, he could move. But you have a bunch of aces that are out there on the trade market. And when you're looking at free agent starting pitching market, where you have the best guys being, you know, Jason Hamill, Rich Hill,
yeah,
you're going to look at these big name starters.
I'll take Sale. Chris, we're out of time. Appreciate your time.